This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Good morning. My name is Nicholas Harry Callis. This is The Fan Early Morning Show for the Average Joe. And when the Average Joe wants to buy like a pro, the Average Joe can go to CGR Wholesale. There's a lot of sports to consider this morning. A lot of sports news happening over the weekend, not just in Pittsburgh, but of course, Championship Sunday was yesterday. Saw a couple, I'd say they were good games. I don't understand why certain players are getting such hate, but we can talk about that in due time. You can call me, 412-928-9370. You can also talk to me on X at Callis_33 is my handle. That's Callis_33. Again, that's my X handle. And one more time, the phone number, 412-928-9370. So, just a few things. Let me just start off addressing the Aliquippa situation, them being bumped up again. They're going to play in 5A. I haven't heard any news in particular about them. Other than that they're moving up to 5A, their appeal was unsuccessful. And there was so much talk about that over the weekend, and I just want to say one thing, because I think that as we transition into adulthood and then, you know, have an adult perspective on certain things, I feel like we lose sight of what maybe children or like kids, or especially in high school, since we're talking about this, like what their perspectives of certain situations are. And from an adult perspective, where the school now has to worry about transportation, finances, and other expenses that they wouldn't have to have considered if they would have stayed in a region where they were playing schools around them. I mean, the 5A schools, I mean, you're moving to down to the South Hills to play certain teams. It's just, from my understanding, it's just going to put them in a further financial struggle, which doesn't seem fair. Now, as for the student's perspective, though, as for the kid's perspective, there are so many schools that don't win in the WPIAL. There are so many students that don't get to experience the WPIAL championship or a trip to states. You want to put the students in the best situation to compete and to win, and that's fine. But even in that regard, I mean, Aliquippa can take pride in football because they've had such a great program and they've succeeded at the two levels they've been bumped up prior. Their thing is football. I'm kind of on the argument that if you want to improve, or if you want to stop Aliquippa from winning, you just have to put together a better football program. You know, strive to be better. Don't let the league take it into their hands and then say, oh, well, we can move. We just have to move them. We got to give them better competition. It just feels like that's what it is. And that's not exactly what the PIAA said. I mean, there were several reasons that they cited, but it doesn't make sense to me. And again, I think that even if Aliquippa continues to win and win and win, I mean, there are several students throughout the WPIAL and throughout high school sports, throughout the PIAA, that that they don't win. And it's fine. I mean, it's the ability and the opportunity to play the game while you're in high school that I think is important. And you don't want to financially damage one program over what appears to be just their ability to succeed. There are plenty of programs that don't have the chance to win, and their students go off and they're fine. I mean, I'm one of those people as well. When I was in high school, we had a pretty good baseball program. I've also seen what good coaching and bad coaching looks like because I've also played on good football teams and good baseball teams and also not played or played on teams that were not good football and baseball teams. And our wrestling program was, you know, here and there as well in my time where I was on that team as well. But it all is relative. It all just depends. I never got to win a championship. I think I turned out okay. I think several other students, when you just give them the opportunity, I think that's the part that they'll cherish is the fact that they got the opportunity to do that. So look at it from a student's perspective a little bit as well. I mean, you want to promote fair competition. You don't want the same teams winning every year. But other schools have to get it together and come up with a game plan that could beat Aliquippa or any good team. Or, hey, just take the opportunity, try your best, and move on with life. But don't penalize the school for winning too much. It just, to me, that doesn't make all that much sense. And I think that adults don't look at things truly from a student's perspective. Adults look at things from adult perspectives. But it's just odd, though, because if you look at it from the adult perspective, it's crippling them financially to make this move. And when you look at it from the kid's perspective, it's like, well, cool, we have better competition, but I mean, this feels like they're going to succeed anyway. I mean, they just have a really, really good football program. It just seems like the community is going to suffer a little bit more from having to invest resources to play teams that are not really in their region. So just a thought. 412-928-9370. My brief thoughts on that. So it's always important to also remember what it was like to be a kid and to have a kid's perspective on this as well. So here we go. It's Will and Apollo who wants to talk. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, so I just want to get a better understanding. Does the classification have to do with like class size, or is there something else that goes along with getting bumped up?
I think the PIAA cited that they had transfers that were coming into the school and their numbers increased by enough to move them up.
Okay, because like my only thing, I remember playing in the Whippeals, and I know that if it does have to do with more class size, then that's less kids they have to choose from and more kids they'll have to play on the field. So if Aliquippa is good enough to make it to the state champions, now they're playing up against a lot of kids with more, like a lot of schools with more players, and I think that kind of puts them at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
well,
and all they do, they live football up there in Aliquippa, so.
You know, that was something interesting, too, that I heard that, like, they've got a lot of players who are already playing on both sides of the ball. And a lot of those 5A schools have, like, specific offensive and defensive personnels, you know?
Right.
So it's just, yeah, thanks for the call, Will. I appreciate it. It's just, it's an interesting situation. Again, I just implore you, you know, look at it from the student's perspective sometimes more. When you're adults making decisions. I mean, Aliquippa can't handle the 5A schools. It just seems like they're not going to roll over and give up. I mean, that's for sure. But it's also like, you know, if it's going to hurt the school from a financial standpoint, it just doesn't seem to make much sense. Now, I hear that Aliquippa they're going to be fine. But again, I mean, you don't want them to struggle financially. I mean, again, they could play up to the competition, but again, it's just a matter of having those resources to be able to play those games and to not hurt the community by making this decision. That's really it. So we'll see. I don't feel like Aliquippa is being discriminated against either because several schools appeal classification moves, and I believe there were five or six this time around that got bumped, and lost their appeals. So it's not just an Aliquippa thing. It's several schools. So if you want to talk about that, you're welcome to call in some more, 412-928-9370. But there's so much more that happened this weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Pittsburgh Penguins are starting to remind me of the Pittsburgh Steelers in an unsettling way. We're pedaling through mediocrity with the Penguins now as well. And I think we all just don't want to admit that they're too old. And I feel like that's something we all hesitate to admit. I'm going to say it because my job is to kind of analyze what I see. They're looking real slow. And it's depressing because we want to see one more championship, one more serious run with the big three that have kind of pushed this Penguins revolution back to winning. And the reality is, at this point, I think we all need to face this just head on, is that that might not happen. And it seems more likely now that it's not going to happen that those three are going to be on the same team and win another Stanley Cup or make a serious run. I mean, the fact that they went to overtime with the Montreal Canadiens, where the Canadiens are where they are right now, I mean, it's fine because they won, and it would have been a travesty if they didn't, but like, it took overtime to win that game. That's not a good sign. And so, looking at it, they've got to develop at this point and get younger, and it's time, I think, to dissociate from the big three and what they've done. Not that what they've done is not worth anything, but it's time to just reflect on like how much they're impacting the team and what this roster seems like. And I feel like right now Kyle Dubas may be slightly handcuffed by the organization wanting to keep those three for name recognition. It just doesn't seem like the Penguins are going to win much, and it feels so much like the Steelers, where we're just seeing the same movie now. It's okay, maybe they start off strong, and then maybe the game ends up tied and they go into overtime, and then the Penguins lose in overtime, or the Penguins just outright blow the game in the third period. There's a little sprinkle of a different formula here and there. It's not as cut and dry as the Steelers played football this year, but still, I mean, you see a lot of the same games. They're going into overtime, and they're not winning most of those overtime games, it seems. Or, I mean, they're going to overtime with a team that they have no business going into overtime with in the first place, in the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, that's a game that was well within their control to win, and they took it to overtime, and they scared us all. Now, they won without a shootout, which is cool. But still, like, it's just feeling not great. 412-928-9370, got a caller on the line that wants to speak now. Good morning. What's your name?
Hey, this is Ted. Real quick about the Penguins, I couldn't agree with you more. Look, I think the Penguins are going to have to do a little bit soul searching. To me, they got to move a couple pieces. I would not sign Getzel. I would trade him as much as I could. I think Hextall really screwed him up by signing some long-term deals that made absolutely no sense. With Rust, with Letang, those long-term deals just made no sense to me. 5 to 6 years, are you kidding me? They're going to have to move some pieces. I think they should do it early than wait until after this season, next season, and when the team falls off a cliff. Because you see it. You're right. Everybody lost a step. And if you look at the division, it's just the conference is just tough. All the way down from the Rangers to the, you know, you name it. They got to be, you know, they got to be brave enough to move a couple pieces. You know, and Cosby will understand. But if they want to be competitive and really have a chance, you got to trade Getzel. You have to. He's the most common commodity you have. He's a goal scorer, and you can get a lot for him and maybe a couple draft picks.
Sure. Ted, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I understand why Hextall signed all of these players. I mean, it's just the rule of thumb in sports where if you have big names that get a lot of recognition, that get big recognition, that you're going to sell tickets because of that. The Penguins are selling more tickets because those two are on the roster. That's just, or those three, I mean, are on the roster. The big names sell tickets. So Hextall signing those guys, I think it was just exciting, you know, when before we all may have been a little depressed because the Penguins can't possibly sign all the guys back, and then they all got signed back. I think Pittsburgh overall was just excited that the three big names that brought them two championships or three championships over the past 20 years into the new millennium. I think that was a wholesome move to make. In hindsight, it does not seem like it was a move that best benefited the team because you really feel the age of the Penguins now. You really feel how slow they seem to be progressing, and their road to the playoffs now is difficult. But back then, I mean, you couldn't have foreseen that. I don't think. I mean, I think everybody. I mean, I was excited when they got signed back. I don't think there was a single person back then who would have been like, oh, that was terrible. I don't think you would have used that word as terrible. I mean, maybe some of you saw the writing on the wall. And you saw that and you said, okay, this is probably, I mean, this makes me feel good, but it probably isn't going to help the team. Maybe you saw it coming. Maybe some of you were like, oh, cool, they're all really good players, and we like them, so keep them. You know, this is a good thing. But I don't think anybody saw that headline and said, oh, terrible move. Why would the Penguins ever do such a thing? Because it wasn't really a terrible move. It wasn't really the worst thing that they could have done, signing those guys back. They sell tickets. They have brand. They have name recognition. They're good players. So you want to keep the players that are good. You want to keep the players you feel like could win you games and sell you tickets. And back then, when they were signed, that was the case. So I'm not so much with the idea that the Penguins or Ron Hextall, when he was general manager, shouldn't have retained those guys. It just seems like, in hindsight, it was not the best thing to do. But again, that's hindsight. Nobody could have foreseen such a huge drop-off, or maybe you saw that the team was aging, and you feared this. Whatever the case may be, though, nobody, I think, saw that move and said, this is horrible, and I don't think anybody could have foreseen such a huge collapse the way that they fell off last year. And so, yeah, I'm not going to blame Hextall for signing them back. Again, when you sell tickets with big names, that's a big thing in sports. 412-928-9370, you can call, and you can talk to me about anything sports. I'm going to talk here for about, six more minutes, and then the Fan Morning Show pre-show will commence. So call me, talk about some things. Championship Sunday was yesterday, and I am so upset. I bet $100 that the Chiefs and the Lions would win. And if you watched yesterday and you know the outcome of game number two, you realize why I'm frustrated. It was a $900 payout. A $900 payout, and the Lions had a 17-point lead at the half. And now I see why when you bet, it can get frustrating. I mean, I just started betting, in September or October when Crowley and Dorn were teaching me about, sports betting and how that works. And it's an exciting thing. It is, because two teams or two games in particular that I'm not totally invested in, now I have a little more reason to watch and root for one team, so I kind of get it from that perspective. So, I mean, it's cool. And the payout, I think, was worth it. You know, I don't bet too often, so $100, it's like, all right, send it. See if I can get a bigger reward. Did not happen because the Lions broke down in the second half. So that was annoying, and I'm sad. But you never bet against the Chiefs, and I've kind of learned that as well. Even though the Chiefs are underdogs, never bet against the Chiefs. Unless they're in the Super Bowl, but like through the playoffs, I mean, they are the favorite team. You know, if they make it to the big game, they're likely to win it. I mean, the Bengals got the best of them in, was it 2021 or 2022? This is 2022 playoffs. But that game went into overtime. So, I mean, the Chiefs are a tough opponent right now. They're really getting it together, and they got Swifty Magic getting them through as well. Maybe that has some influence. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, she's following the team. We're going to have a Taylor Swift Super Bowl coming up. So, or yay. I don't know how you feel about Taylor Swift, but you know, it's fine. The TV coverage team is going to make sure that she's on camera as much as possible, because that's just what we do in the NFL, and maybe you like it, maybe you don't. Either way, the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, and they're going to play the 49ers. Now, I'm slightly annoyed by this one as well, because I'm not a big fan of rematches in big sports like this. I like to see new teams get their opportunity. Now, it feels like kind of a new team with the 49ers. I mean, they had a crazy quarterback shuffle since 4 years ago when they were in it. But also, it's like, you know, we've seen this one already. You know, the Lions were such a great story. I'm just so upset for the Lions, man. They had it. Now, I'm upset because of the pet, but also I'm upset for them because I feel like they were the better storyline in all of this. They were the better team to have go to a Super Bowl. They're such a great story. I mean, they had been in mediocre land for a long time, never really getting over the hump. They haven't been to this game since the 90s, since the early 90s. And now they get to this game, the NFC Championship, and they lose like that. They were up 17, and then Dan Campbell's big weakness. Now, part of the argument was Dan Campbell doesn't worry about taking too many risks because that's what got them here. I think the perspective changes a little bit. And again, I'm talking in hindsight, but like, if you have a 17-point lead, putting points on the board at all is important. Like, you want to shoot for that six, that seven. But sometimes taking three, like taking a couple field goals in that game instead of going for it on fourth down when they were beyond midfield. I mean, in hindsight, looking at it like that, that could have helped them. That could have gone a long way. I mean, the importance of points when you're up is important. Now, again, you want more points, and Dan Campbell wanted more points. But, like, they pushed the envelope, I think, a little bit too much. Again, you could argue that their aggressiveness got them to that game. But there's no shame in kicking field goals when you're up already by 17. So that is just a frustrating development from my perspective with the Lions. And I get the argument that they were aggressive all season. They would not be in this position if they were not previously aggressive. But, I mean, that just shows you where They're a very good example of why balance is important still to win a Super Bowl. You've got to be among the most balanced of teams, because any mistake you make, any failure that you have, will be exploited by a team that is better than you. And any team, when you get to the championship round, the conference championship round of the NFL, any team is good enough to come back and beat you. Any team. And then going back to the AFC side, one more comment I want to make. I don't like that Lamar Jackson is being tortured the way he is on socials. I think he played a fine game, and he won in the playoffs. He won a game. So saying that he doesn't win in the playoffs is not an accurate statement, because he has won in the playoffs. Beating the Chiefs is a tough task no matter where you are, but also he didn't even play that poorly. He made a lot of agile plays that kept the Ravens in that game. So I hate to defend the Ravens, but Lamar Jackson is fine. I don't get where the hate for him comes from. Maybe we as Steeler fans like to mock them because they didn't win, but also from an unbiased perspective, he played fine.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.